welcome to episode 38 of Breaking In. I'm Manny.
Cheryl.
And we're going to have a longer discussion about rom-coms in the current age. But first, I thought we should put this magic movie screenwriting versus final draft issue to rest. So after last week's show, we got a comment from Neil, who says he primarily uses Movie Magic Screenwriter. And even though it is not that it is necessarily better than Final Draft, as Cheryl pointed out, all programs have their issues. But the fact that if you've already forked over a couple of $100 for one program, it's very hard to justify to one's inner critic paying another couple of $100 for a very similar program. So here's my comment to that specific statement. You fucked up.
You picked the wrong program.
Yeah.
You spent a couple of hundred or whatever on a program that is not industry standard.
Nope.
If you were to, my argument was, if you're using something for free and it lets you export it in a final draft format.
Sure.
So let's do that. That's not what I'm doing.
Yeah. So, and to sort of complement the whole idea of you fucked up, how much do you spend on screenwriting total? I mean, you're talking about how many times have you purchased books? How many times have you purchased seminars that quote unquote say you're going to be a better screenwriter? How much money have you forked over for contests that you know what? You're probably not ready to tackle. How much money have you paid for consultants and script coverage, pitch fest? I mean, just, and really?
You're not going to spend money on Final Draft.
The one thing that everybody in the industry uses, everybody.
The one thing that is going to actually show that you
are a professional.
Or not.
No. It's literally, when it comes
to a Word document.
When it comes to screenwriting, it's literally the one thing you need. That's it. Now, I've seen other arguments on our posts where, it's about talent and it's not about the program you use. Cool. Where are you? You got talent. Why aren't you sitting here doing the podcast? Why are you listening to us?
That's your fun. You can use whatever fucking program you want.
Yeah.
You use a typewriter.
I think Quentin still does use a typewriter. So,
That's different.
And guess what? You're not Quentin Tarantino, so whatever. I get it. You know? It seems like $200 is a lot of money, but here's
it's like turning in a document from WordPad as opposed to Word. It's just not done.
And I think that is a bullshit excuse to hide behind. Oh, it's all about the money, because the reality is it's literally the only thing you need. It's one thing, and you know what? I'm sorry, I get it. You guys picked Magic Movie Screenwriting or whatever the fuck.
Movie magic is not going to get you where you need to be.
Yeah, I mean, you guys fucked up. Sorry.
I agree.
Get it right.
Sorry. Yeah. This way it is. If you're an artist, you work on a Mac. If you're a programmer, you work on a PC. There are industry standards. C++, DBScript. There are industry standards. You don't get to just go choose what you're comfortable with. Or what's cheaper, or what's whatever. You have to do industry standards.
Right. That's just what it is. Yep. That's just how it is. Agreed. Sorry. Moving off of that topic, and hopefully we never have to discuss it again, I want to move into an email that we received from Michael in New Zealand, who wrote, he responded to our revisiting old scripts, and he wrote a romantic comedy a few years ago, and after listening to that show, he dug it out to have another look and see if it was worth rewriting. And he writes, "Now we live in a Facebook online dating world. It seems harder to write a romantic comedy that you feel like you haven't seen 1,000 times. It seems the successful ones tap into other genres. There's a great French film called Heartbreaker, and it's a rom-com, but it also has smatterings of Bodyguard and a few heist movies. Silver Linings Playbook This playbook is a comedy and a romantic comedy according to Box Office Mojo. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on the romantic comedy genre in 2013 and whether you think you have to incorporate other genres to help make it successful. No.
It's funny because we were bringing up, so we were going through a list of...
Is that really a romantic comedy?
Right.
No. Love and Drugs.
Yeah. And you said that's not a rom-com.
No.
I said it was probably supposed to be, though.
It was a drama that had comedic elements.
Yeah, but I think they wanted it to be a rom-com.
I think the rom-com genre, so let's, before we delve into that, let's sort of define what a rom-com has. Anything that fucking Katherine Heigl is in, it's the Rock Hudson, Doris Day simple philosophy of boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back.
Christmas, guy, moon. I'll capture the moon for you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't even see it.
Shit,
it's a Wonderful Life.
That's
not really a rom-com. I wouldn't say it's a rom-com.
That is essence of it. It
sure.
Really does have that part of it in it.
Right. So can a rom-com successfully live in this day and age? So let's go back to the formula of the, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't think I'm going to get too much argument from anyone, greatest rom-com of all time, When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
Boy
meets girl, boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets
boy
girl back.
Friends,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, can you, I don't think you can have a When Harry Met Sally now. I don't think that movie could work now. The argument that
okay, writing timely.
So the argument, which brings up the point that I wanted to make, the argument that I immediately went to, is that the rom-com still exists, but it's changed its definition for the times. So, for example, last year we got two competing rom-coms, Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached, which is the boy and the girl decide to hook up for a casual relationship and end up actually having a relationship. I feel like the rom-com, even from the 90s, has sort of moved to very sexually charged, like, we're just going to fuck. And then, and I guess we love each other too. I mean, Knocked Up was based on a one-night stand. 40-Year-Old Virgin is literally about a 40-year-old virgin. I mean, we've, Super Bad. The Drill Bit Taylor. I mean, there's all of these essences of.
Why is that?
I just think that's the day we live in now. I mean, the sociological idea of hooking up is more normal and more popular, maybe, than it was 20 years ago.
You know you can have sex with somebody and have a okay time. I mean, they would have to really be fucking to not have an okay time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty simple, somebody's going to make you dinner. It's a simple formula.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to like you to spend the next 60 years with you? Is a bigger question, and it doesn't come with, it's not that easy to do. You can't just go out there looking for that.
Right.
I think that's what they're coming to now. It's not like our parents, their parents, that's not how romance and you're finding your soulmate happy anymore.
Right.
So, again, needs to be timely. And what is your new twist on today's age?
Well,
how do people date now? OkCupid, eHarmony, where's that story?
Yeah, we haven't seen that rom-com
yet. Where's that story? I go through fucking 100 people. Before I get to you.
That's an interesting point, too, because we were looking up rom-coms at brunch today, mm-hmm. and you brought you mentioned the Anna Faris movie, What's Your Number? It's literally how many people you've slept with.
Mm-hmm.
It's, we're not, this
yeah,
isn't,
which
we're,
has been
we're
done
not,
already.
Sure, but I'm just redefining the fact that we don't live in a day and age where, again, going back to that 50s Rock Hudson Doris Day thing where we don't have the philosophy of when you enter in a diner and you see a woman behind the counter, you turn to your friend and you say, that's the woman I'm going to marry. That doesn't happen anymore. That's the girl I'm going to bend over the counter by the end of the night.
We are more logical now. That's
right.
Not how we do things. So there is not a current one. Even the friends with benefits, that's like, friends have done that.
Yeah,
friends
I mean, done, that,
done.
That,
it's been
that,
done to death.
Right.
Not a new idea.
No, not a new idea, but a, yes.
I've been doing it for years.
Yeah, I get that. That was not a new idea in the world, but I will argue, and even though I agree that they were very late to the game, that's also an idea that was not presented in that format.
You're talking about the actors.
No, I'm not talking about the
actors. Was presented. Exactly.
There's never been a rom-com that started out with, like, let's just keep fucking and then this. I mean, yeah, there have been some patterns of that, but to actually brand it as using terms of no strings attached, friends with benefits.
Pretty sure it's your bro crush that is driving that conversation. That was the textbook. The only
the formula
thing that carried
was
it.
I know.
It was the who was in it.
I know, and
it.
That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Nothing. Barely charming.
I know.
Barely charming.
I understand, and that is the point I'm trying to make. It's that it's following a formula, but it's updating to current.
I didn't see an update.
No, but
you got
but,
mail.
Okay.
Was at least current.
You've Got Mail was a remake.
Time.
Was a remake.
Yeah. But that was current for it's the AOL.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
Everybody was on AOL.
Oh, my God. Have you seen that recently? Can we just go off on
God,
a tangent?
Ridiculous.
Like,
no,
oh, my God.
I laughed.
It's so dated. This movie cannot function in today's time.
No,
because
it can't.
It's horrible.
It can't. So what can? That's what I'm saying. Is I'm not seeing anything that says, this is how we date now.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Catfish. You can watch Catfish and see the results of that.
Not a romantic comedy.
Oh my God. No, it's a comedy, all right.
Yeah, it's a sad comedy. there are things, there are elements, and, you know, the rom-com has always been, let's chat about this for a couple of seconds. So the rom-com has always followed the formula of boy meets girl.
Gets girl.
Boy loses
girl.
I think I'm going to say maybe around 8 or 10 years ago, somebody came up with the concept of fucking with the formula. So it was boy meets girl, girl loses boy, girl gets boy back.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, and I remember, I don't remember
every
the movie.
Amanda Bynes movie.
I don't remember the
every
movie.
Amanda Bynes movie.
but it wasn't Amanda Bynes,
no,
though. There was
I
a specific
know.
Movie where I remember seeing that the first time. And was like, oh, I haven't seen that before. And
Princess
we're only talking about 10 years ago.
I know. Anne Hathaway.
Yes, so the Princess Diaries.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, there
That's
are...
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, in and they still kind of sort of play that. I think they've done, specifically with Judd Apatow, I think the version of the man child, and the man child growing up has been, okay, it still follows the same exact formula, but you see a different character where it's like, look, put your fucking toys away, grow up and be a man. That idea is relatively new. I mean, it's a new direction in which
Vince Vaughn came into the picture. That's pretty much been his standard go-to thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think audiences are turned off by the idea of a romantic comedy. It's a formula that has statistically worked very well for a lot of people. I think that
there just is no new twist on it.
Well,
so the person's saying, do you bring another genre in
right.
to make that happen? It's not interesting to have just a rom-com.
So then you turn. So let's talk about Night and Day.
I was just gonna say that.
It's a romantic comedy that is staked in. It's an action film.
I'm sorry, I liked it.
Oh no, I loved it too.
And Tom Cruise and stuff like that. But anyway, I liked the movie. So.
No, it's a great movie.
Was, a new twist on it.
Right. But
although
that was not that, I mean,
Arnold Schwarzenegger and
I don't know how the hell you're gonna bring Arnold Schwarzenegger into this.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and girl from Halloween. Jamie
Lee Curtis, True Lies. Yes.
That was almost the same exact thing.
Almost.
Yeah, almost the same exact thing. But literally, that's it. Those are two movies in the whole that a genre was mixed with rom-com. So.
See, I view Night and Day as Night and Day is yes, a romantic comedy to a large extent. But I also view that movie more as a buddy comedy. I mean, when you strip away the instances that happen, like when you just strip away everything and you just look at it from the sense of
buddy cop, buddy.
Yeah.
I get where you're going with that. Yeah.
One's kind of a fish out of water.
Yeah.
One's a pro.
Yeah.
You put them together.
Yeah. But it's a man and a woman. So
right.
It's a buddy comedy.
I would argue. And I would make the argument that based on the trailer of that movie, that's kind of how that sold as a buddy comedy. I mean, just the scenes that they choose to show of like, on the count of three, we're going to go do this. And it's one. And then she runs out and bullets start flying.
Right, right.
Did you not understand?
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally a scene that has been stripped right out of Lethal Weapon. On the count of three, we're going to go do that. You mean three and then go? One, two, three, go, and then go? Right. Or one, two, go, or one, two, three, and then go. I don't. Okay, so let's tackle the question head on. Do you feel like other genres, do you feel like the rom-com needs to bring in other genres in order to make it new? Or do you think that the rom-com needs to be refreshed? And like, okay, so you can have When Harry Met Sally, but When Harry Met Sally on Facebook.
No, I agree. I think it needs a new twist, number one, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go back to the, I Met You at a Function or something.
Right.
That's not going to work. But, okay, put in other genres. Let's say horror. How do you make horror in rom-com?
They just did. You brought it up at brunch. Warm
I
Bodies.
Did. Oh, my God.
Which we have not seen.
About Segway?
Yeah.
Thank you. You're welcome. Anyway, that was actually, what was it called?
Warm Bodies. Which is, okay, so for those of you who don't know, we have not seen the movie.
Yeah, I want it badly.
But it's a zombie apocalypse,
love
falling in love.
Zombie.
It's a Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, it's a Romeo
where
and Juliet.
Romeo is a zombie.
Yeah. Come on, that's pretty out there.
Agreed. And now, I would argue that trailer, and I know you disagree with me, and this is the point of where I want to go down this road. I would argue that the trailer marketed that movie as a zombie movie with romantic / comedic elements, not a rom-com with zombie elements. You disagree. You actually think it was a rom-com right out the gate.
Yeah. It's a boyfriend, a zombie who's still in love with her, and she thinks she can save him.
Right.
And as apparently he actually thinks the same thing.
Right.
So he's trying to save her in the zombie apocalypse. He's fighting zombies for her. He's trying to teach her to be a zombie to get through her through safely.
Mm-hmm.
He's being her hero. So.
But okay, so let me ask this question. Do you feel that movie, the way the marketing was, the movie poster, the trailer, do you think that movie was trying to reach the Housewives of the Midwest romantic comedy demographic? Or do you think it was reaching out to the zombie horror demographic?
Zombie teen. Yeah, I think it was totally a zombie teen. And wouldn't it be awesome if zombie was in love with you and was bringing you through the zombie apocalypse? Come on, that's kind of awesome. And up there was Shaun of the Dead. That kind of... Which, technically, if you think about it, was half rom-com. And his girlfriend,
but
they're the only ones who survive.
Yeah, but I want to go back to the definition, because you can't just say, because there's romantic elements that it's a rom-com. There are specific, very, again, shitting on Katherine Heigl, it's the Katherine Heigl movie. It's the what's her name? Not Katherine Heigl. It's the Kate Hudson. It's that.
Can't wait to lose.
Right. It's that there is a very the premise of the movie is I am alone. I don't want to be alone, and I finally found my soulmate. Pretty much. I mean,
accidentally.
However you find it, it doesn't really matter how it happens. You're not ready. I'm staunch about this. And then, but I really want to be loved. And that's what romance comedies are supposed to do. They're supposed to make the audience feel like, oh, maybe it can happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone goes into a movie like Shaun of the Dead, and even, I'm going to say Warm Bodies, and says, oh, maybe I can find love. That's not why you come. That's not how you come out of that movie.
I think what's interesting, too, is that it's always on the woman's side. It's not the man who's wanting love. It's the man who has to change to understand that he wants love and be.
Well, in all fairness.
Almost always they're assholes who want to be single. They stay forever.
In all fairness, and you and I got into a heated debate, air quotes,
really?
About gender on Friday night. But I mean.
You were just being sick.
Whatever. So, so let's use that. Isn't that kind of what guys are anyway? I mean, it's
stereotypical.
But I mean, it's always about the guy needing to grow up and realize that you're not an island.
Right.
To quote about a boy.
I'm just
because
saying,
that's how men are.
So that's what I'm saying. That is, if you wrote that, that would totally be exactly how it is. So how about write something different? How about it even girl who needs saving? And the
there
guy
have
is already responsible.
There have been movies like that.
Name the responsible guy who would save the crazy girl.
I would argue would argue 40 Days and 40 Nights. The Josh Hartnett. Like, it was the guy. Maybe this is a bad example. But I feel like that the rom-com usually focuses.
Actually, the one I just watched with that young actor. Oh my god! Remember, I was making fun of that. I didn't even want to watch it because it had him in it. That he came back from the war with a picture of a girl.
That's not a rom. That is so not a rom com.
Okay, it isn't.
No, that is a Nicholas Sparks bullshit.
Okay, all right.
Romantic.
It is one instance where the guy actually saves the girl.
Yes, agreed.
And
we are talking about. Just luck. Lucky one.
Lucky one.
With Zac Efron.
So I did not want to watch the Zac Efron movie.
No. We had to do it for work, people. We had to do it for work. There was a reason. But there are movies where I think generally, when you think of a rom-com, I'm going to probably make an argument that 9 times out of 10, the main character is the woman. It's the female character.
Right.
It's your Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. Mm-hmm. It's your Nobody Puts Baby in the Corner bullshit. It's, Molly Ringwald. It's all of those characters. It's the Kate Hudsons, the Katherine Heigls, the Sandy Bullocks, the Jennifer Anistons. Very rarely do you see a romantic comedy where the male is a character, and usually if it is, probably Matthew McConaughey.
No. Go back a little farther.
John Cusack.
Yeah.
Better Off Dead.
Almost all of his movies. Not even Better Off Dead. When he went back and interviewed all his girlfriends to find out why they hated him. And almost, he had a lot of movies that were all about the man, romance, he wanted to be loved. That's a very good example.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that many of them.
No, not anymore. Well, I mean, but again, you're talking about shit that was 3 decades ago. The male model has changed. I mean, specifically speaking about male characters in general, we now live in a world where James Bond gets the shit kicked out of him. That's not the James Bond I grew up with.
Me either.
James Bond didn't get a scratch or a bruise. I mean, James Bond literally, like, got blown out into space and still managed to get it up and fuck some hot chick.
And his hair is still
yes, exactly. Perfectly organized. Sean Connery didn't get slapped.
Except by a female sometimes right before.
Yeah, but, yeah.
That was sexy.
Yeah, I think, and I guess moving into sort of having a deeper discussion about male characters, I mean, that having a strong female character is completely different. Okay, going back to the James Bond model, because I think that's a very male chauvinistic, obviously. I mean, it always has been. Pussy galore, really? Okay.
It's what it needs to be, though. That is what it has to be that way.
But looking at the sort of the overall timeline of the Bond female, even Bond women have changed, where they're very more outspoken, they're
aggressive,
they don't need Bond to fight their battles, they can kick their own, you know, they can kick ass themselves.
Or they're actually the bad guy,
And so when you take that and you translate that into the world of the rom-com, I think that, you know, to a certain extent, women are, again, are the lead characters, so they're more able to take care of themselves. They don't need a man in their life. And the men, for the most part, are, again, going back to the Judd Apatow model, they're children, and they need women to
ground them.
Yeah, not only ground them, but make them fucking grow up. It's not, you know, the Cary Grant, I got my shit together and I'm suave.
That's so Richard Gere
pretty woman model is dead, because that's not the world we live in now. It's not the suave 80s. The guy in the suit
fucked up until you get a woman. That's how that is.
For the single ladies out there listening to this show, Richard Gere is not going to come save you in a suit.
Right.
It's probably going to be a fat guy in a Star Wars t-shirt.
Right.
Just saying.
He'll be a dork.
Yeah. Oh, he'll love you.
A dork.
Here's the funny thing, and this is kind of an argument I always make about rom-coms. I am, as pessimistic as I am about life in general, I am a total lover of rom-coms, because I buy into, I'm a romantic guy. I buy into that bullshit. And even though there's a moment when the third act where the music swells and the guy does this grand gesture to get the woman back, where it's like, maybe it's a little dusty in the theater. Oh, I dig that. I might buy into that. And then as soon as the credits hit, you go, yeah, but you know what? I'd love to see the sequel to this, because they're not together. Pretty Woman, do you really think a guy from Wall Street, or an executive, marries a hooker and they live happily ever after? Really?
There has never been a rom-com that when the credits roll, I don't go, can we just jump a year into the future right now?
Yes. And
I want to see a flash on the screen.
But, and here's the big but. Is, and again, I know I keep saying this, but going back to the sort of this new age Judd Apatow model, Knocked Up, I can totally see Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl together a year later. 40-year-old virgin, I can totally see Steve Carell and her together a year later, because that it's there's no
questions left unanswered.
But at the same time, it's like, okay,
already.
So using Knocked Up, it's like, yes, okay, Seth Rogen was a man-child. Katherine Heigl, it's totally the same thing. Katherine Heigl's the Richard Gere. Seth Rogen is the prostitute.
She was living in her sister's basement or something.
Sure, but she had her life together, quote-unquote. So she has to get him up to her level, and he does on his own accord. Not for her, because he just needs to grow up. And so you can kind of imagine that a year down the road, he's not going to fall back into old habits.
I'm going to be stoned all day.
Right. He's going to still have his job. He's going to still be a responsible dad. He's still going to be a good...
Yeah, really.
Right.
It tells a story.
Versus, again, going back to Pretty Woman, where it's like, I gave that relationship maybe a week. Like, there's going to be a day.
Here's where I went. And maybe they got married, and when they got divorced, she got everything.
And now she's on The Real Housewives of fantasy land. there's going to be a point, and I don't care. I will go on record. I don't think I've ever said it on the show, but I might have mentioned it in my column. I fucking hate Pretty Woman. It's the stupidest movie of all time, and I know that women fucking... I know a lot of women that is like their number one favorite movie.
It's modern day Cinderella. How do you not?
Because it's bullshit. Because it's she is a hooker. Cinderella. 2 weeks down the road.
Have you seen Cinderella?
Okay,
have you seen Cinderella?
Cinderella, okay.
My common dresser.
Cinderella didn't suck dick for money.
Eventually, I'm sure. She become the
I mean, there's just at a certain point where you're sitting at a board meeting and you're like, oh, my wife used to suck dick for money. I just don't understand. It's too different of worlds.
That would mean that you have a problem with a woman who has slept with over, I don't know, 70 people. Is that an issue? Does that not make her hookerish? Or is that, so what's the limit of hookerish that you're allowed to be okay with as a man?
She could have been a professional escort. He picked her up on the streets of Hollywood Boulevard. I mean,
I'm just asking, what point, what is your cutoff? What your cutoff is, okay, they have to get on the Boulevard. Oh, a porn star is okay.
Sure, why not? She's not big for money.
Really?
I don't know.
So the girl you pick on Hollywood Boulevard, no, but a porn star
probably
porn stuff's ugly, oh my God, ugly-ass guy.
Well, there's proof of it.
Back in the day before she got famous.
Yeah, but okay, so it's just the idea of, and, you know, I get it. I get what the fantasy that they're trying to sell.
It's Cinderella.
It's too far from one another, you know?
Oh, my God. And too bad you didn't write it and make all that money.
Touche. Douche, sir.
Douche, sir. Douche.
anyway, so just kind of tie this up a little bit. I think that, you know, rom-coms are always going to exist. I think they're always going to be fairly formulaic. I don't think audiences want to be changing that. But I do think it needs to be brought up to date to a point in which...
Agreed. You got to have a twist and help with that, keep the current, obviously. Mixing genres, of course. You know, we already talked about that. Do that, the action,
sure.
Whatever.
Well, no, I think the idea, and this might be kind of a greater argument, but I think the idea of genre, it has been sort of blurred at this point. I mean, going back to, which is funny because I spent the past week watching a lot of 80s action movies, Van Damme movies, Chuck Norris films, those were a very defined, it was 80s action.
Yeah.
And now, when you think of action stars, you got people like The Rock, or Jason Statham. And I think every time you go into a Jason Statham movie, you pretty much know what you're going to get, and you get it gets delivered. But I mean, The Rock specifically is horribly charismatic compared to your Arnold Schwarzeneggers, your Chuck Norris's, and he can blend in. This world of like, look at The Rundown. That was kind of The Rock's really huge move into being an action star, but it was a buddy comedy. It was a comedy.
And he can pull off comedy.
And he can do that. Right.
I haven't seen him.
And hang on 1 second. And he got the shit kicked out of him in that movie.
Rom-com. Think about him. What romantic thing?
He would be great.
Him?
Well, he's done kids movies.
I'm just saying.
I
no,
think
that's
it,
not.
I know. That's unfair.
I seduce you as a woman.
I think he'd be great in the rom-com.
What the hell? I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody write that. We need a movie for The Rock. Rom-com.
Rom-com for The Rock.
Charming rom-com. That would be hot.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm immediately going into how do you sell The Rock on a rom-com.
He's fucking hot.
Yeah, but he's got to be flawed. And the only way to make The Rock flawed is to be a man-child.
Of course. a large.
Yeah, and then. You guys should have seen the look on the Cheryl's face when she said a large blowjob.
He can do
that. Right, and the roles that they put him in that large man-child, if he's going to play a large man-child, what do? They give him a kid. And now he's got to grow up because he's got to have a kid. So, yes, maybe there should be a moment where a woman comes in and says, stop being a fucking large man-child and grow up.
Get on it.
I don't know. Anything else? I think we're good. I think that's all we wanted to talk about.
Although I'm very excited about rom com.
I know. We should watch one. Let's go watch Pretty Woman. Oh, actually, speaking of Pretty Woman, we would kind of like a little bit of feedback. So Cheryl and I came up with this idea, and Cheryl thinks it might be okay, but we want to do, and we will do this not as the show, but as like a special edition of the show, where we kind of sit down and bullshit our way through movies, popular movies that everyone's seen.
Yeah, that's a crazy idea.
I want to say kind of like your director's commentary, but so if anybody has any feedback, we're going to let you guys kind of choose the movie. And then, because the thing is that when Cheryl and I watch a movie together, we're constantly talking up the screen because we're upset.
You're totally that.
So, would you like us to be as kind of like, so the idea being you start the movie, podcast.
But you guys tell me.
Anyway, just throwing that out there. Give us feedback. We would like to hear your opinion. But other than that, I think that's the show for this week. So, for breaking in, I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
Till next week.
Out.